The good news is you'll get out of church on time today, if not early. So if you all have plans, which I know some of you do, which I won't go into in great detail at the pulpit, you'll make all of your afternoon appointments right on time. So. This is probably one of the hardest things in the church that I have to do, and that is to stand up and speak to the congregation, whether it be making announcements, delivering the sermon, which I quickly somehow volunteer to do it, and then I ask myself, why did I just volunteer to do that? Especially when your niece gets married the day before, or you have big plans the Saturday night before. Yes, I agree. You're supposed to keep talking when babies cry, but I'm going to probably have to stop and look at Robert every time he has something to say, which will make the sermon even shorter. So, anyway, a couple of weeks ago, my youngest niece, she graduated from high school, and proudly, I'd like to say that she's pretty bright. She took that after her mother, and she graduated valedictorian of her class. And when she was preparing to give her speech, she asked her mother, what should I do? And Charlene said, my sister said, you should just go online and see what you can find. You know, you can find anything on the internet. Some things good, some things not so good. But she was looking for some words of wisdom to share with her graduating class. And she thought back to something one of her teachers said, you should just preach on something you want to talk about. So when Janet asked me to speak, I thought, well, I'm going to talk about faith today. But as I was preparing that message, I thought, I know I have faith, but faith, that's a little dangerous territory for a lay speaker to come up and try to talk about. Because the Bible could be a very tough book to understand. And as I was preparing for today, I thought, you know what, as I'm writing a plan, maybe I need to talk about the importance of planning. So today we're going to talk about planning and why planning is important. All my life it seems like I've had a plan, especially as a young child. Growing up with a mother who was a planner, she had every second of my life and my siblings' lives planned out. I don't know if that was to make her life easier or to make sure we stayed busy, but there was always a plan in place. And so I guess I earned that trait of planning, honestly. Throughout my life, I look back and I reflect on all the aspects of it that involve planning. To be a teacher, you really have to be a planner. So if you are a teacher, you have taught school, they like planning when you're a teacher. Whether you like it or not, the people who you work for like planning. My friend Mark and I were talking about it on the way up. He is also a teacher, and several of my friends are teachers. And probably one of the worst parts of our job is the fact that you have to plan so much. And you think, well, you do it every day, you do it every year, it should be the same thing. Well, it's not that easy. I think back and all the plans I've written and how I write them, and then they don't get used because the plan changes at school when the children arrive, things happen. Plans change. So sometimes being a planner is not always the best thing. I just finished my 21st year of teaching, so that's 21 years of lesson plans. Some years were better than others. I always liked the principals that never checked your lesson plans, because when they didn't check your lesson plans, I didn't write them. But then it was always nice to have the principals who did check them, because they kept you in check. And being the planner that I thought I was, it was nice to do that. Our lives are full of lessons, and I'm going to talk about that a little bit today and how God plays an important role in the plan that he has for us and how we are instrumental in making sure that his plan is carried out. When I was in college, it was drilled into my brain to be an effective teacher. You always needed to be an effective planner, and I was really good at that for a while, but like I said, after a while it gets a little old to keep writing the same things over and over again. So I guess my upbringing really prepared me to always be a planner. When I was growing up, I was involved in Boy Scouts. And one of the most important lessons you learn as a scout is you learn to be prepared. You quote the oath, you quote the scout laws, and everything that you say and everything that you do in being a scout, from earning your skill awards to your merit badges to your orders of rank of achievement, to the greatest honor of being an Eagle Scout, you learn that the best way to do any of that and to achieve your goals is to be a planner. I often find myself in life situations quoting the Scout Law to myself or saying the oath in my head, especially when I'm put into a situation of temptation when I'm not making the right choice. And we've all been in those situations when we feel like if we'd had a better plan, maybe we would be making a better decision. And so I reflect back and think of how following the oath and the laws made some of my plans come to life, and how when I chose not to do that, the outcome was not as positive for me as I wished it had been. I have a friend, Keith, and I called him Friday to ask him if I could cut some flowers from his yard. And I said, by the way, Sunday I'm preaching. He said, oh, I'd love to come hear it. I said, no, do yourself a favor, stay home. I'll give you the abbreviated version, which you're going to get anyway, so it wouldn't matter. But Keith is kind of a fly-by-the-seat-of-his-pants kind of guy. And all growing up, we've been friends since like the third grade. What we did each day was very much in contrast. I did things one way, he did things another. I seemed to always have an idea of what I wanted to do, and he seemed to never have an idea of what he wanted to do. But yet, it seems like he's always had everything handed to him on a silver platter, and he would tell you that. I guess I would like to say I'm a little jealous of Keith's life, but I know the Bible teaches us not to do that. Keith has a wife, he has kids, he has a house, he has a great job, he has a big savings, he has 401s, 403s, 807s, all those things I know nothing about. He travels, and it seems like it all happens, and he hasn't thought about any of it, especially he can't even complete a sentence when he talks, so it's often hard for me to understand why he really, really has all this going on, but it puzzles me. Rarely can I see where he has a plan, and he would stand right here and agree with me. All his life has seemed like he's just kind of rambled through it. And then there's me, and everyone here knows I have my hands in a lot of things, and often people wonder, how do you get it all done? And you know, I don't always get it all done, and it doesn't always get done the way it needs to get done. I remember when I was teaching in Norfolk, assistant principal, she came in. She was one of those sneaky people who like to try to trick you. And I went to lunch, and she thought she would be waiting. And I would tell her this too. We would laugh about it. She would be waiting for me when she returned, when I returned from lunch. You know, because when you come back, the kids are a little rowdy, and I had a rough group. I'm sure it was probably a rough group. And she probably wanted to check me out to see how I got the class settled down. And most likely, she was checking to see if my plan book was ready for the afternoon's lessons. And it was. And I often think about how Barbara would say, because she knows I was very involved in church, very involved in doing my floral work, very involved in community activities. And she used to always say that I could always get a lot of things done, and she didn't know how I did it. And I really don't know how I do it either. And the older I get, I realize that my plans for my life have changed, and I need to put God in that a little more than I have in the past. And that when I seek His advice and I seek His wisdom, things do seem to fall into place a little bit better for me. And today I'm going to share some ideas that will help you as well. Now, I'm not endorsing myself as an expert with relationships with God. I have not put a lot of thought into this. I was originally, like I said, going to speak to you on faith. And then I came across that little seedy story in the Bible about Abram's second wife. And I just thought that was kind of interesting, because we always think the Bible has got beautiful stories in it, and the life of people during that time was perfect. But it wasn't, as we saw in our scripture reading this morning. And I think often of God's creation and the work that He did with His own son, Jesus, who was full of Jesus's life. He was full of wonderful people surrounding Him, and the stories that we read about are great, but we also find those stories in the Bible that tell us otherwise. But I find Bible stories to be very intriguing, and they lay out God's master plan for what He has set for us in our own lives. The Bible speaks of God's plan for the universe, God's plan for us, and His plan and work for His own Son, Jesus. As I was preparing for today, I found nearly 55 references about planning in my Bible, and I didn't find them on the internet. I just opened my Bible, which I have a good Bible. I mean, they're all good, but this Bible is the Life Application Bible. And for those of us, I bought this Bible because the King James Version was just a little scary, a little hard to understand, and it was the scripture and the cover, and that was it. There were no explanations in the King James Version that I grew up with. And when I came across this Bible, I've had this since I first started teaching and working in church. It gives an excellent explanation of the scriptures and how those scriptures apply to our lives each day. And I'll offer some of that explanation in just a little bit. Like most of you, I couldn't wait to go off to college. I don't know how many of you all have been to college or you've done anything with your life where it involved going away from what you were used to and going into something that was unknown, whether it be a job or going to school. But it can be a scary thing. And, you have the best laid plans. But then when you get to that situation, the person that you're going to be working with or the situation that you're going into, they have an agenda as well. And when your agenda doesn't match the other agenda, sometimes your plan doesn't always work out. I don't know if you find that to happen. And that's true when you wake up in the morning with a small baby. You have the plan laid out, but then sometimes things just change, and that's okay. Planning ahead is important. Unlike my buddy since childhood, having a forecast for the future is vital. Knowing where you've been, knowing where you've been, where you are, and where you're going to go is what I always tell my students at school. But like most of us, I don't always practice what I preach. This year, for instance, I'm going to be teaching a whole new group of children, a whole new different age group, and I have absolutely no idea what I'm getting myself into. And ironically, I'm very comfortable with that. I'm going to be teaching middle school English, and the little children, you can boss them around, and you can scare them, and but you know, the older they get, but I can be kind of, I can back talk too, so I'm looking forward to that opportunity, actually. So usually I would try to do all the research, talk to all these teachers, everybody that's taught 8th grade or 7th grade or 6th grade, and try to figure it all out. But for once in my life, I'm not trying to plan ahead. I'm just going to go into the experience and be relaxed. And that's what God wants us to do. He doesn't always want us to go into everything knowing everything, because He knows what the plan is. He's already got it planned out. You know that. And I think sometimes if we just, like when my balloon would not work this morning, I thought it was more important to get here in one piece and have some rest. So I thought, you know what, I'll figure it out when I get to church. And I hope it sounded okay, because I kind of figured it out when I got to church. My friend Mark was asking me, what are you talking about? What are you preaching on? Do you have your sermon together? Well, I had my sermon together, except for the last little bit, and we're almost at the last little bit, so you'll be happy to know that. But interestingly enough, I felt like truly God was in my plan this morning. He had my back, and He knew what I needed to say and when I needed to say it to make an impact on who I was speaking to. And I think we need to do that as adults. Moving to Northern Virginia, this area of the United States is full of a lot of high-achieving people. Everybody here has a goal. Everybody here has a plan, especially my age and younger. Ambitious. Everybody has been a class president or has graduated from an Ivy League school or a top-notch university or has had excellent training in their field of work. And so the competition is steep in whatever you do. But it doesn't matter how much you plan if God is not in your plan. That plan is in vain. Or that plan, it's not going to go the way you want it to go. And when it doesn't, it seems like we always turn to God. Even people who don't believe in God, have you noticed they always go to God? It's amazing how we know Him when we need Him. But it's amazing how much our daily lives would be a lot better off if we made Him a part of it each day. As I close today, I want you to know that God has a plan for you. He is a part of your plan. He's a part of your life. This week when you go home, I want you to reflect on what I've said today. I want you to try to put God in your plan each day and be proactive with your relationship with Him and not reactive, not react when you need Him, but put Him into your decision making and in your forecasting for your future. Thank you.